So much of what we're going to learn in Parshas Vayakel has already been spoken of, right, in Parshas Truma. However, there's lots of novelty here. You just have to look in between the lines. Of course, here is where the Torah talks to us about what actually happens. Now, everybody knows the Torah is chauvinistic, right? The Torah is old-fashioned, chauvinistic. Us modern people, enlightened, we're going to re-engineer the Torah, remove all its dross and its toxins. We're going to fix it up and make it right. Of course. Let's take a look and see what kind of chauvinist could have written this. If the Torah is chauvinistic. Okay, Sheni. Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, chapter 35, verse 21. Vayaveu kol ish asher nesoy libay. So every person whose heart impelled him, whose heart lifted him, v'chol asher nod veruchei, everybody whose spirit, generous spirit, kind of impelled him forward, heviu es trumas Hashem, they brought the donations of Hashem, lemeleches el moed, for the work of the tent of meeting, God's mobile home, v'lechol avedasei, v'levigdi akedish, for all of its work, and for all of the sacred raiments, which would be used by the Kohanim, when they would serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So the obvious question is, here we have, Vayaveu kolish asher nesoi liboy, every person whose heart lifted him. What does that mean? So the Ibn Ezra says that these are the Chachmei Lev. These are not just the people who gave. These are people who actually gave of themselves, people who had wherewithal and ability. And he says they were of Lev Ram, they were of a stout heart, they were inspired people. He said that's actually a word for somebody who's inspired. In the Ur HaChaim it says that each and every person was giving according to his ability. That's called Nad Veruchai. The person who goes beyond their ability, that's called Nesoy Libay. So a generous spirit is a generous person. It's very nice. And then there's a person whose heart pushes him to do more. And that's what we speak about over here. And therefore Nesoy Libay refers to going beyond the call of duty. In the Targum Yonasan, very interestingly, it says, as a result of nadva ruchai, as a result of generosity, people experienced an elevation of their hearts. And he says this was like a form of prophecy. They actually experienced a higher form of consciousness, a higher form of connectivity and awareness as a result of their generosity. So now we're learning about, in real time, the actual donations, the commitment, the making the command of Hashem happen, and the impact that it had on the people and how the people did it. This we don't know about in Parshas Truma. Here we just get a shopping list, a litany of materials required. Here we're hearing how they brought it and how they were affected by it. And so we move forward into verse 22nd. Vayaveyu ha'anoshim al hanoshim. The men brought, literally al means on, the woman. Kol nediv lev, every generous person, heviyu brought choch, venezem, v'tabas, v'chumaz. Oh, yeah, let's see if I can remember what all this means. So choch is a bracelet, I think, and nezem is a nose ring, and tabas is a ring, and kumas is a chastity belt. Kol klizah v'chol ish, all different gold ornaments. V'chol ish asher heinif tenufa zav l'Hashem, every single man who brought a donation of gold to before God. So the pasuk opens very oddly with these words, v'yaviyo ha'anoshim, the men brought al hanoshim. This is the first time in the Mishkan we hear a distinction between the genders. So what does it mean? What does al mean on? What does it mean on the woman? So Rashi says that the word al can sometimes be understood as im. Im means with an ayin, with, together with. He says im hanashim, with the woman, v'smuchim aleihem. And they were also, the men caught up. The woman brought all these donations. The men, so to speak, came along. They were able to hold or maintain pace with the woman. So why would you have to say that? Why shouldn't the men be maintaining pace with the woman? Well, one of the reasons is that when it came to the sin of the golden calf, the men were involved and the women weren't. So the question is, did the men actually manage to bounce back? And like, there's a very interesting comment from the Malbim. He says, as a rule, ein kateger nasa saneger. He says, a prosecutor cannot become a defender. And gold should have been a prosecutor, because gold highlights the failings of the Jewish people. They built a calf of gold. One of the reasons that the Kohen Gadol divests himself of his gold raiments. Gold raiments were very colorful. They weren't only gold, but even the colorful raiments had gold woven into them. one of the reasons that the Kohen Gadol takes that off when he serves in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, the special things that he does for Yom Kippur, is because Yom Kippur was designed as an Hashem's atonement first, originally, organically, for the sin of the golden calf. And we say, Ein Kateger, Nasa Saneger. A prosecutor cannot be a defender. So gold points to, hey, gold and calf go together. It's like French fries and ketchup. So we would say over here, they couldn't bring gold. And so the Malbim says, when you have tshuva me'ava, when you have tshuva out of love, then you can have zedonis naslik hazochis. Then demerits can actually become transformed and become merits. So bad things can become good things. And because he did the tshuva me'ava, so he said, what's the prime example of this? This is the gold of the egel, which the men sinned. And nonetheless, despite the fact that the men sinned and the women didn't sin, the men, because they were now, so to speak, impelled with their hearts, with their love for Hashem, they managed to catch up to the woman who hadn't sinned. And that's why the Torah, it's a chiddush, that's a novelty, that the Torah has to say, vayaviyu ha'anoshim al hanoshim. So that's, in and of itself already, that's already certainly not a chauvinistic statement. In other words, you're highlighting the fact that the woman didn't sin, and the woman's contribution was more meaningful before Hashem, and it was more natural. But the men managed to overcome that. Then you take a look in the Ibn Ezra, he says, no, that's not what it means. Al doesn't mean with, al means on. And he says, the men came after the woman. The woman first demonstrated, they led by example, and then the men were shamed into it. The men said, oy vey, look at this. We're looking really bad. We need to come forward as well. And Ramban is even more strident, and he says that the reason we know in this pasuk, most of the things talked about over here are things that would be found in a woman's possession. That's golden ornaments. Women have more gold, naturally, than men. But he says, the Torah is telling us that Vayaviyo Ha'al Nashim, Al HaNashim means that they were only tufil, that was secondary. That the woman's contribution was much more generous. And the men came in at a close second at best.
That's recontrasting opinions. That means all of the above? When we looked at it?
There's many different opinions in Torah. And it was probably some men like this, and some men like that, and some men the other way. And the question what you want to highlight. None of the opinions, though, smacks of chauvinism. Even if you're saying the men caught up to the woman, what are you saying? You're still highlighting the virtue of the woman's donation that eclipsed that of the men. The Rosh says something very interesting. He says that when it came to the egel, the woman did not give anything. The men grabbed things, they took things. In the end, they took their own gold and said, yeah, I got it from my wife. But Aaron had trusted the woman. He said, the women are not going to go for this. But they lied, and they said, we got this from our wives. So the Rosh says that the woman did not give, and so you might think, well, the woman just didn't want to give. Maybe Aaron relied on the woman because he said, the woman don't give away the gold. And men give away gold. Women don't give away gold. So he says, lest you think that, you take a look here and you see that kan nasnu b'simcha. Here they gave, but they gave with joy. They were happy to give. So you cannot say the reason they didn't give by the egel is because they just didn't like to give gold. They gave by the egel. They didn't give by the egel because they knew it was wrong. And here, when they knew it was right, they gave with a sense of simcha. And he says, because of this, the Rosh says, and the Baal Yatesvus talk about this, he says, because of this, Rosh Chodesh became a special holiday for women. What's the connection between Rosh Chodesh and the concept of gold, or the Mishkan? So the Dazakein of the Baal Yatesvus elaborates further, and he says that the first day of the Mishkan was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's when Hashem's presence came down to the Mishkan, as we're going to learn in a couple of parshiyot from now in the next book, in a parsha called Shmini, Vayhibi Yom HaShmini. And this is already alluded to in Parshas Tetzaveh. We talked about the idea of working for 7 days in the Mishkan, putting it together, taking it apart, going through the motions, and then on the eighth day, after 7 days of work, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence would come. It started on the 23rd day of Adar, and Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's when Hashem's presence came to the Jewish people. But Rosh Chodesh Nisan is not just an ordinary Rosh Chodesh. That's the Rosh Chodesh. Because that's the first Rosh Chodesh. That's the year earlier, back in Egypt, where God said to Moses, HaChodesh HaZalochem. So all Rosh Chodesh come from the first Rosh Chodesh. The first Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. In the first year of our nation, even before we were born, we were just in the convulsions of being born. 2 weeks before we left Mitzrayim, God made it a Rosh Chodesh. In the next year, which is like the first Rosh Chodesh we celebrate as a nation really, we're already seeing the presence of Hashem. So that's what Rosh Chodesh is about. And here, the woman played a greater role, and that's where Rosh Chodesh became a special day for the woman. That's what the Baal HaTesvos say. So this gives us an understanding and an appreciation of the lack of chauvinism, actually. It was not a question of chauvinism. On the contrary, the Torah highlights and emphasizes the contribution that was made by the woman more so than the men. The verses continue on in Pasuk Chav Gimel v'chol yishas and nimtza itay tcheles v'argoma v'telas shani v'sheish v'izim v'eiris elim adamim v'eiris tchashim heviu. A whole list over here that we talked about in great length earlier in Parshas Truma. All of the men who might have had in their possession any of these different kinds of the color wool, whether it was tchelet, which is the turquoise color, and the argoman, which is a royal purple, or the telas shani, which is a deep red, or the sheish, the linen, the izim, the goat hair, the eiris elim, the ram's skins, madam, that were dyed red, and finally the eiris tchashim, the skin of the special animal that was used, that very colorful skin, whom we were taught is extinct, and we don't know which animal this was. All of these things were brought. As Rashi says, what does this mean? V'chol isha shenim tzaitai. Whoever happened to have any of these things, since the Torah speaks about many different things, and since it says kol isha shenimtzo, any person who might have had these things, which is plural, using the not the singular. So what does it mean? All the people brought all the things? Rashi says no. Tcheles, it was either you brought that turquoise carnival wool, oy argaman, or you brought the royal purple, oy telas shani, or you brought that deep red, or oy resalem, oy tchashim, or you brought the ram's hides that were dyed, or you brought the tachash skins. Shekulam heviu. All of these people brought all of these things. Not all the people brought all the things, but all of these people brought all the things amongst them. Some had one, some had the other. Together, in unison, in concert, they all brought all the things. And that's how Rashi makes sense of the verse, which otherwise is a little bit hard to swallow. Kol meidim trumas kesef and necheshes, any of the people who lifted up the gift or donation of silver or of copper, heviu es trumas Hashem, they brought the donations of Hashem, v'chol ha'shanim tza'itay, anybody who happened to have with him, atze shitim, any of the acacia wood, l'chol melechas ha'aveda, which could be used for the service to the work of building the base of the Mishkan, the mobile home of God, heviu, they brought those things. And now it gets really interesting. Verse 25, in addition to all the materials, people also gave of themselves their wherewithal, their talent, and their ability. V'chol isho chachma slave, and any woman who was wise of heart, biyodeho tovu. She not only brought materials, but she also was gifted in the art of weaving. And so she wove with her hands. V'yoveyo es matve, they brought this woven material, the tcheles, the argoma, the tlashoni, and the sheish, same materials. The men brought the raw materials, the woman brought developed materials, which is similar to the concept of the Gemara's highlighting difference in men's tzedakah and woman's tzedakah. The men can give the money to buy food, the woman actually give food, which is able to be eaten. In other words, that the woman's gift is to prepare and fine-tune something so that it's actually ready for use. And that's emphasized in the idea of chol isha chachmas lev. There are those who maintain that this emphasizes how the woman sees the moment and they utilize not only the wherewithal, the assets they had, but also the talents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given them. The Ksav HaKabbalah says, even though some of these things they had already woven prior, they already had, so to speak, the textiles, nonetheless, they went out of their way and they wove it themselves. Why? Chavivas HaMitzvah. Because they loved the mitzvah and they wanted to demonstrate how they cherished the mitzvah, and therefore they said, we want to do this especially for the Mishkan, demonstrating our love and our loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Almighty. And Rambam says, from these psukim, we're able to extrapolate and derive a halacha. When it comes to building Hashem's house, everybody is obligated. Men and women equally. He says, even children can be brought into the tandem as long as they're not little children. They have to stay in school and keep studying Torah, because that never stops. With the exception of small children studying Torah, everybody should be involved in the building of Hashem's house. Okay, so now we hear about the wisest and the most capable and talented of the women. V'chol ha'noshim, and all of the women, asher nasa libon, whose hearts had lifted them and inspired them, oisana b'chochma, with wisdom, tovu esa'izim, they spun the goats. How do you spin goats? So Rashi says, what does this mean? What's the difference between what's talked about in verse 25, where it's creating textile or spinning the yarn, and here, they're spinning goats. What does it mean to spin a goat? So Rashi says, verse 26 is a step further. This is he hoisa umnas yaseira. This is an added level of expertise and professionalism. Shemal gabe ha'izim tovinesan. They would actually spin it off the back of live goats. spin the goats. They brought the goats, they spun the threads off live goats, and that's why they go in a verse on their own. And this is V'chol Anoshim Asher Nasa Liban. They were especially elevated and impelled. And of course, you're asking yourself, okay, till now you had me, now you lost me. What does it mean to spin goats? Why would they do that? What was this, a circus? They wanted to show how they could spin the goat while the goat is still alive? What's the point? So here, we'll learn a portion of one of the Rebbe's insights, which will at least give us a little bit of appreciation and understanding for what happened here. Page Shin Samaches in the Biurim book. Simon Yudal, the 14th entry on Parshas Vayakel. Yesh Lishel. The Rebbe says there's a question that might be asked. And the question is, Madua Mishana Rashi Miloshana Kosov. Why does Rashi change, seemingly deviates from the language that the scripture uses in order to explain the scripture? But he deviates from the scripture. Why? Well, look in the scripture. It says, V'chol HaNashim Asher Nasa Liban, all of the women whose hearts lifted them, who were inspired, Aysana B'chachma Tavu. How did they spin? How did they weave? B'chachma. Chachma is wisdom or creativity. And what does Rashi say? And Rashi says, he doesn't say chokhma yaseira. He didn't say it was an added measure of intellectual creativity. He doesn't say it's an added measure of wisdom. He said it's an added measure of professionalism, expertise. Why did he change from the language of the verse? If the verse says chokhma, then stick with chokhma. And the question really gets even bigger, because the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, in not one but in two places, which is the source of Rashi, over there, the Gemara says Chachma Yaseira, not Umnes Yaseira. So the Gemara follows the language, the verbiage of the scripture, and Rashi deviates from the verbiage of the scripture to explain the scripture. Why? What's not understood about Chachma that's more understood when we talk about the concept of Umnes, of profession, of craft, of ability? So V'yesh Lavayir, the Rebbe suggests that Rashi has a very, very deep intention here. Rashi's intention is Lahasbir, is trying to explain to you, literally in a word, Ma'alasei shal sug tviyazeh. What's the virtue? What's so good about spinning the goats? I mean, other than it's pretty fascinating that you could do that, what's the point? I once heard a little joke. A guy went to the mechanic, and the mechanic was fixing the car. What's the bill? Whatever. $500. And he says to his customer, who happens to be a cardiac surgeon, he says, I don't understand. You do a surgery and you get $5,000 an hour, and I do a surgery and I'm getting $500 an hour. What's the difference? And the surgeon said, let me see you do that when the car is running. It's a little different, right? In other words, the point is, why did you have to do it when they're alive? Why couldn't you just shear the goats and do it right after? I mean, like, literally a moment later. What was the point? And especially because nobody saw this happening. It was done on a stage. This was not like some vaudeville event. Everybody did, came and showed the, you would never believe what I could do. I can spin it off the goat. So what's the point of that? Gabi ha'izim tavu. Nitenes lehis parash b'snei afanim. This can be explained in two ways. And this is, the first way is, ha'mai lehi be'erka haruchni shal atruma. From the first approach, the virtue here is in the spiritual level of what's being given. So let me give you a little background. Torah views the entirety of existence, at least material existence, in four different levels. There's something called doimim, which is the inanimate. And that represents everything from granules of sand or soil, to rocks, to water, to chemicals. It's all inanimate. Inanimate things. You don't see a sign of life. What you see today, you'll see tomorrow. And tomorrow you see it in 1,000 years. 1,000 years ago, it doesn't change. Maybe a little erosion from wind, but that's it. It's inanimate. And then there are things which are alive in this world, and that's vegetation. Vegetation is alive. I was talking to somebody yesterday who's a vegan. He wants to know if he can have vegetable tefillin. I said, I can't. There's no such thing. He says, I cannot kill an animal to do a mitzvah. I said, how could you kill cucumbers to eat, and tomatoes and peppers and carrots? You murder them every single day. He says, what are you talking about? It's ridiculous. I said, why? Why? They have no feelings. I said, how do you know? How do you know? There's studies indicate that there is like fear among, and there is anxiety. We don't know. We don't know that. And the point is, it's a living thing. Living things live and die. Materially living things. Spiritual life is eternal. Physical things can live and die. So plants have a moment of life where life begins, and the plants die. The plant can live on inanimately afterwards. That's what furniture is. It used to be a living tree. Now it's wood. But the fact is, it's no longer alive. But the life, plant life, and vegetative life is life which is kind of tethered. It doesn't go anywhere. It grows, but always remains in its place. And then's what we call life that's teeming, life that's in movement. And that's everything from small, tiny creatures to elephants and rhinoceroses. They're all these large, moving things. So they're born, or they're hatched, and then they go on to live, they have a life. And then, of course, there's humanity, which is the crown of creation. And this is called Datscham. Doimim Tzemeach, Chai Medaber. Medaber is the human being, it's called a communicator. So what's a higher level of creation? If life is divinity, if life is godliness, what's a higher level of creation? The inanimate reality of creation or the vegetative reality of creation? Which part represents a higher or more godly kind of expression here on planet Earth?
Vegetation.
And what's higher than vegetation? The animal life. Ah, so the animal life then represents a higher level. This, by the way, is the reason that some people on Shabbos, they seek to wear silk instead of wool. It's like a higher level. It's high, even within living things, there's what's called domesticated animals, and then there's wild animals. The wild animal is said to have a higher level of energy. That's why some people wear streimel. That's what the spiritual idea of the fur hat is. That the fur represents the wild animal rather than the wool, which represents the domesticated animal. Silk also comes from a silkworm. It's also not domesticated. That's why there's this thing of wearing silk and wearing fur on Shabbos. Anyway, the point is we see creation in many different levels, but the classification of nomenclature used from our perspective is not scientific. We don't kind of group together the commonalities of something's technical, chemical side, but instead we look at things from a spiritual lens, from a spiritual perspective. So what's a higher level than if you're donating wool or goat fur, which is dead, or you're bringing the actual goat, which is a higher level? Obviously, the goat itself is a higher level. It's mechuber lebehema. It's still connected to the chai. It's still a living thing. And that's higher than sar shenignas, than here or fur that's been shorn. And that's why these women wanted to bring the goats. What were they looking for? They were deeply spiritually minded. They wanted to give a higher level of commitment. They wanted to donate something on a higher level of reality. And that's what they were thinking when they brought the goats and said, here's a goat, now let me spin him, after I gave the goat. That's one approach. This is one way we understand it. Another way of understanding it is, Hamailahu mebchinas echos hatvia. The difference is in the quality of the actual spinning. Kishashar mechuber leizim, when the fur, the hair, is still attached to the goat, it's much more malleable, it's still moist, it's still live. The moment something dies, it atrophies. The moment it dies, that's it. I don't know if you call it rigor mortis by hair, but the hair, it's dead hair. It's not the same anymore. Therefore, hatviya mishubechas yaser. What's going to be a more natural weave? Obviously, if you do when it's live. V'lachein madgish Rashi says, he haisa umnis yaseira. Rashi says, this was not just a question of wisdom, this is a question of craft, a question of quality, a question of ability. Hamayla b'tviyazu einidak v'b'chinas erka haruchni. This is not just these are wiser women who wanted to give a higher level of spirituality. They understood what spirituality means. They knew how we're supposed to look at reality and how we're supposed to look at existence, and they wanted to give a higher level when they would give a donation. No. What they were looking for also was to give a better end product. They wanted to give something more beautiful. And the b'chinas ha'omnis shabadavar, this comes from the professional side of things. Making something more beautiful, making something which was more precise, more exact, more qualitative. The echos ha'tviyah was the quality of the spinning they were looking for. So there is a maila in the tviyah, hasar kishiyah gabiyah izim. That's when there's a virtue, when it is above the back of the goat. In other words, why did Rashi change from chokhmah to omnis? Because Rashi wanted to explain to you what the women were thinking. Not only were they thinking, this is more of a donation for me to make, which means that I'm looking for my own value, my own vantage, my own advantage, but instead what were they thinking? Not of themselves, but of the Mishkan. Where would there be a better end product? Not when I'm not involved. I won't be there anymore. I gave something once and that's it. But the question is, where will the Mishkan be more beautiful? Where will Hashem's house have a higher quality of beauty And that was not only wisdom, but it was also umnis, was also incredible ability that they have. And therefore, we're saying, not only the women were wise, or more spiritually minded, but they were actually more altruistic as well. So, if you think that's chauvinistic, I really can't help you.